This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning again. We are in a series where we're looking each week at one of Jesus's last words that he spoke from the cross. And this is our last of the last sayings. We actually have two more weeks left of Lent, the season of Lent, but next week is a very unique service and kind of stands alone, Palm Sunday. And if you have not been to a Christ Church Mission Palm Sunday service, then please don't miss it. Next Sunday will be a very meaningful day, meaningful service. The service starts outside with the palms and the kids and joyful music, and then we make our way into the theater here where the service kind of takes a turn. And it gets darker, and we kind of survey Jesus's final days of suffering and death. And so it's a very powerful service, lots of music. I encourage you to join us. But this week, we do the last of the last sayings. And some of Jesus's last words, you might remember, were spoken to the people that were gathered. Some of them were spoken in prayers to God. And now we come to the last of the last words in which Jesus returns back to praying to God. And the flavor, though, the flavor of this saying is different from the flavor of the last couple of weeks. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, you might remember that we've been together kind of contemplating and wrestling with the distinctiveness of God the Father and God the Son. There's like some apparent tension between the two there on the cross. And so we've been kind of wrestling with that and meditating on that for the last couple of weeks. Jesus felt forsaken by God. Jesus declared his thirst, not just practically, but God, I thirst for like your fullness and presence, you know? But here at the end of Jesus's struggle, as his suffering comes to a close, it isn't abandonment from God that Jesus expresses. Here, right at the end, he instead expresses trust and submission and connection and unity with God the Father. "Into your hands," he says, "I commit my spirit." Into your hands, I commit my spirit. That's our phrase for today. And do you feel how strikingly different that is than my God, why have you forsaken me?" Or, "I thirst, God." This is, "Into your hands, I commit my spirit." He even returns to calling him Father. "Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit." This isn't a prayer of abandonment. This is a prayer of tenderness and trust. And Luke, here in our reading, actually records three reactions to Jesus's last word. Now, I want to be fair. Maybe the reactions here that we're going to look at aren't exclusively a reaction to the prayer. They're more a reaction to Christ's crucifixion overall. But it is punctuated. Christ's death is punctuated by this prayer, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." You'll even see here in the reading, halfway through, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus, this last word of Jesus's was spoken, was declared loudly so that all could hear it. It wasn't whispered quietly to God in prayer. It was declared emphatically so that all heard it. And when that happened, Luke gives us three reactions. First, the centurion. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." The centurion, a pagan Roman soldier, having witnessed Christ die and hearing him say, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," praised God. He seemingly had a spontaneous spiritual awakening. and praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. Now, surely this was a righteous man is actually an echo of something that we talked about a couple weeks ago. One of the criminals on the cross said that same thing about Jesus. Surely this was a righteous man. This man has clearly done no wrong. In other words, two people, the centurion and the thief on the cross, who witnessed, who were some of the closest witnesses to Christ's death and his last words, were very far from God, but by the time he died, had found themselves so moved by the manner in which Christ conducted himself on the cross that they both praised God and said, this was a righteous man. That is a huge response. Maybe not as big as the next response, though. When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. All of this crowd who had gathered there at Jesus' cross, who witnessed, nay, participated in Christ's crucifixion, who were taunting him and mocking him and scorning him and shouting at him, when they heard him pray that prayer, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and he died, they experienced a kind of turn inside. They were uneasy and maybe disturbed a little bit, but not disturbed as they had been at Jesus there on the cross. They were disturbed maybe at themselves, troubled by what all of a sudden they, you know, this bloodthirsty crowd who's been mocking him and shouting, crucify him, crucify him, now finds themselves, something's not right. We think that, you know, Pentecost, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks, on Pentecost, Peter preaches a sermon in this same town. And when he does, 3,000 people become Christians in response to his prayer. And we think that there may be some tie between that moment and this moment. Meaning, like, these crowds who have witnessed Jesus die in this way, who now find themselves facing this uneasy conviction, maybe this is the seed that eventually produces fruit there at Pentecost, where they say, oh my gosh, this really is the Son of God. So that's the second reaction that Luke describes. And then lastly, but all those who knew Jesus, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. So there's another part of the crowd there, the people that loved Jesus, the people that believed his divinity, watched at a distance, and they themselves mourned and were heavy watching Jesus pray this prayer and die in this way. Huge response to, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So I think these are important words. They're meaningful words. They're heavy words. And I want to talk about, we'll do 2 points in this sermon, Christ's prayer of trust and our prayer of trust. Okay? Those two things, Christ's prayer and our prayer. Into your hands I commit my spirit. This was Christ's prayer. A prayer of submission, of trust, commending himself into the hands of God. And like many of Jesus' final words, they are not original to his lips, or to his earthly lips, you would say. They are quotes from the Old Testament, and that's true of these words also. By the way, you know, I feel like this is, for every sermon that I've done, that's probably not true, but it feels like most of the sermons in this series of Christ's last words, we talk about where his words originated in the Old Testament, okay? Christ, in so many of these instances, was quoting Old Testament passages. These words of the Hebrew scriptures were written on Jesus' heart and mind. So much so that in his final moments, he found himself praying them back to God. And I guess I just want to underscore that and say, like, man, if we want some of the fullness and life and love that Jesus possesses, then getting those scriptures onto our hearts and minds also would be a very good first step. Anyway, these words of Jesus, into your hands I commit my spirit, are taken from Psalm 31. Psalm 31 was a very well-known psalm in Jesus' day. In fact, it was the traditional bedtime prayer taught to children by their mothers. Psalm 31 was the traditional bedtime prayer taught to children by their mothers. And so I'm going to reread it. Carrie read it for us, but I'm going to reread it for us and like so that you can hear it in that way as like a child's bedtime prayer, okay? In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set before me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. It's a beautiful prayer, isn't it, for the end of the day, especially for children. Some of these themes, keep me free from the trap, you know, lead me and guide me for the sake of your name. You, Lord, are my fortress. These are, I think, meaningful themes. It sure beats the childhood prayer that I grew up praying. Maybe some of you grew up praying it too. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Was anybody else scarred by praying that prayer on a nightly basis? Like, man, we were praying like the Black Plague was loose, you know? Like, I don't know, Lord, if I wake up, you know? Anyway, this is a better prayer. Deliver me, turn your ear to me, into your hands I commit my spirit. Imagine Mary teaching Jesus, the child, this prayer, praying it with him as he closed his eyes each night. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And now with his final breaths, Christ prays it again. Here on the cross, he had forgiven his enemies. He had offered mercy to the thief. He had vowed to take care of his mother and John. He had expressed his thirst, and now he prays the prayer that he prayed every night, maybe, as from the time he was a child, and he declares his trust in God. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. It's a prayer of trust in God and absolute submission to him. And trust and submission to God, animated every aspect of Jesus' life. This wasn't just a bedtime prayer for Jesus. This was a every moment of his life prayer. Isn't that how Christ lived his life? In committing himself to the hands of God. You know, when he was a child and he lingered there at the temple, wanting to stay just a little bit longer while his parents looked for him. Isn't that essentially Christ like committing himself into the hands of God? When Jesus faced 40 days of temptation in the wilderness and wouldn't give in, but instead depended on God, wasn't that Christ committing himself? Into your hands, Lord, I commit my spirit. When Christ would slip away, you know, to get away from the crowds and to be with God, to be alone with the Father, isn't that Christ saying, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. This was more than just a bedtime prayer for Jesus. This was the pattern of his life was over and over again, committing himself into the hands of God. Into your hands, God, I commit my spirit. He trusted him in his life. And now Jesus trusts him not only in his life, but in his death also. Now when the text says, Chez, can I get the gospel back up there for a second? When the text says here at the end of the first paragraph, when he had said this, he breathed his last. Breathed his last would not have been the normative way that a writer would describe someone's death. It seems to me, Mark uses this exact same way, breathed his last, the gospel writer Mark. The translation is something like, he expired, okay? It seems to me that Luke and actually all the gospel writers have gone out of their way to say that Jesus' life was not taken from him, but that he laid it down. John and Matthew are actually even more aggressive with their language. They say that Jesus gave up his spirit, or he released his spirit. It's Jesus who is like the actor in those gospels. He released his spirit. This underscores Jesus' trusting action to God, laying down his life willingly. Christ prefigured that in John 10, much earlier. He describes this. He says, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it back. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back. This command I received from the Father. Into your hands I commit my spirit, Jesus says. Both in life and in death, I offer everything that I have to you, God. I trust you, and I lay myself down. And I hope you see here, in this example of Jesus, that submission to God, that committing yourself to God, is not an act of weakness. It's not passivity. Jesus is not shoulder shrugging here and saying, like, I guess it doesn't matter, or, you know, God, I guess God the Father will do what you want to do instead of what I want to do, shoulder shrug. Into your hands I commit my spirit is a prayer of powerful obedience and the choice to let go. It isn't weakness, it's strength. And that was Christ's prayer. Into your hands I commit my spirit. This can be our prayer too. It was Christ's prayer, it can be our prayer too. And look, I don't want to overstate it. Like, this would be a problem if I was saying this every week. But I do feel like this passage, this particular prayer, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. If we, like, can get this prayer and the spirit of this prayer inside of us, it really can change our lives. It really can transform us and animate us in new ways. It can become a pattern by which not only do we pray, but we live. If you need a good mantra this week, something to repeat over and over, let it be this. Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. What if this prayer was the prayer of our lives? I think that in some ways the New Testament tries to cast a vision that it ought to be, that this prayer should really animate our lives. James chapter 4, he puts it very, very plainly. Submit yourselves then to God, like commit yourself to him. This is Paul in Romans 12. He puts it this way. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I actually really like Eugene Peterson's Message translation of that same verse. It says this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your eating, or your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Into your hands, Lord, I commit my spirit. I submit myself to you. I trust you. It's yours. My life is yours, and I give it to you. And again, submission here isn't a shoulder shrug. Our prayer of submission to God and to trust in him isn't, okay, God, I give up. We'll do it your way. You know, it's not giving up and it's not haphazard. This prayer can be prayed with strength and clarity and determination. I submit myself to you, Lord. I'm letting go of control and I'm putting it in your hands. So take for a second the problem of the day. You know what I mean? Like your problem of the day. The thing that is like stressing you, the, you know, something at work, something with your family, your kids, your marriage, your friendships. Do you have it? Take like the problem of your day. And while holding that in your mind, pray this prayer. Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Into your hands, God, I commit my spirit. What would it look like to submit that thing to him? Not to stop trying, but to offer it to him. This is a prayer that you can pray for yourself. It's a prayer that you can pray for others. I find that to be meaningful too. Father, into your hands, I commit their spirit, you know? Because as much as I want to control my own life, sometimes I want to control other people's lives too, even people that I love very dearly. And so this prayer is helpful. Father, into your hands, I commit their spirit. I offer them to you in trust and submission, God. They are yours. What if, like Jesus, this prayer described our lives? What if we prayed it on the way to a stressful meeting? What if we prayed it when we're feeling lost? What if when we face a trial, we find ourselves praying this prayer, into your hands, I commit my spirit. This can be our guide. And like Christ, it can be our prayer not only in life, but in death. Because, sorry to talk in this way, but for some of us, death will surprise us. But for others of us, we're going to know that death is coming. And we're going to have the opportunity to pray this prayer in an eternal kind of way, in an ultimate kind of way. Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. When death is near, you can make this your prayer, praying it in the ultimate act of trust and surrender to God. In our Anglican funeral service, there's even a part of the service called the committal. And in the committal, commit ourselves to God, there's an extended prayer. I just thought it would be helpful to pray this for you. It says, into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive them into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. It's a prayer of submission, of letting go. We have to do it at funerals, don't we? We have to let go. We can no longer hold on to them. We have to commit them into the hands of the Lord. And if we can internalize that kind of posture and that kind of prayer with God for ourselves, I think that if we can channel like praying that prayer in the ultimate sense, submitting ourselves to God even in death, then it will help us to pray that prayer in more ordinary, very normal, smaller ways, day in and day out. If we can commit ourselves to him in that big, ultimate, eternal sense, then it will help us to commit ourselves to him in a daily way too. Both our lives and our deaths can be marked by that prayer. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. In some sense, I think the goal of the Christian life is to live that prayer moment by moment. And the good news is that God will not forsake that prayer. When we commit ourselves into his hands, he holds us there. Amen.